Thank you for that marvelous music. My, how beautiful. I'm an old trumpet player from way back, and so I always love to listen to the instruments, and I always tell the young ladies, you always want to watch the trumpet players if you can, because they make great kissers later in life. But whatever you do, don't ever get wrapped up with a tuba player, because they'll blow your brains out, all right? Thank you for all this wonderful, wonderful Christ-honoring music. It's such a treat for Brother Cluth and I to get to be here today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This morning I want to talk to you about something that is critical at all ages of our history, but I submit to you in the hour in which we now live, it's more critical than it's ever been before. And I want to ask you this question: how much of God's power do you have? As a child of God, as a heaven-bound Christian, if I were to ask you, how much power do you have? Now, we know from the scriptures that God has promised his power. He's promised his grace. And we're about to read a passage of scripture that makes an amazing statement. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That was an absolute command of God to every child of God. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we're commanded to grow in the grace. And as you read through scriptures, that command on grace is repeated over and over and over again. Now, I love an acronym for grace that I learned in Sunday school as a child, and many of you, I'm sure, learned the same one. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. How many of you ever heard that before? It's a great, great explanation of it. It is the power of God. And we know that we're saved by his grace. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I always love to remind people, if you're here for whatever the reason, and you don't know Jesus, God has a gift he wants to give you. The Bible calls it the gift of God, and it's by his grace. But now that you're saved, and how many of you here know the Lord is your personal Savior? How much of that grace, how much of that power do we have? Romans 1:7, "Grace to you," the Bible says, "and peace from God." Romans 16:20, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." 1 Corinthians 1:2, "Grace be unto you." 2 Corinthians 1:2, "Grace be to you." Galatians 1:3, "Grace be unto you." Ephesians 1:2, "Grace be to you." Philippians 1:2, "Grace be unto you." Colossians 1:2, "Grace be unto you." 1 Thessalonians 1:1, "Grace be unto you." 2 Thessalonians 1:2, "Grace be unto you." 1 Timothy 1:2, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father." 2 Timothy 1:2, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father." Titus 1:4, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God." Philippians 1:2, "Grace be to you." 1 Peter 1:2, "Grace unto you." 2 Peter 1:2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." 2 John 1:3, "Grace be with you." Revelations 1:4, "Grace be unto you." I read all of those verses hundreds of times in my life. And I have to confess, I always sort of read them just as an introduction. It was just a salutation of somehow God, how he opened these letters of the Bible. But that's not what they are at all. God says to you and me, "Grace to you, grace to you, grace to you. My riches, my power to you." And I wonder, do you have that power adamant in your life. Why did Paul say, be strong in the grace? Why did Peter say, grow in the grace? Why did God then keep repeating, grace, grace, grace? Well, we're about to read a passage of scripture in Acts 4 that has an amazing statement in it. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now mark these next words. And great grace was upon them all. This is speaking of the church in Jerusalem. And you know what God said about that church? The apostles that were there had great power, but the church had great grace. I wonder if the Lord looking at me would say, great grace. Oh, he wants us to have it. That's why all these commands. Would he looking at you say, great grace? Would the world watching us say, great grace? We're about to read in Acts chapter 4 where this church did three things. And when they did these three things, great grace was unleashed in their lives. I want you to get ready to mark these three things, and let me tell you the story. Peter and John have gone up into the temple to pray. And as they're entering the temple for prayers, there were beggars everywhere, begging for alms, because in the Jewish faith, alms were required. So beggars knew that if people went to the temple, they could probably get something. And the Bible says there's a beggar there who's crippled. And he sees Peter and John walking in and he begs for some money. And Peter turns to him and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And by the grace of God, the man was healed. And he stood up. Now this startled everybody because everyone was familiar with this beggar. And all of a sudden he's leaping and standing. And the authorities came in. And the authorities said, how'd you do this? In whose name did you do this? Now, the people that are asking this are the very people who have just crucified Jesus. These are the people who put Jesus Christ to death. And they asked Peter and John, in whose name did you do this? Peter very boldly says, I'm glad you asked. He said, we did it in the name of Jesus, the one you crucified. The one who you thought you killed, but he was in a grave, and 3 days later he rose again. How many of you are thankful you serve a risen Savior? A risen Savior. Death could not hold him. And he said, it's in his name and by his power that we did this. I'm glad you asked. Well, they got mad at him. And they said, we're telling you, button it up. Stop it. We don't want you talking about this Jesus. And then they put him in jail overnight. In the morning when they let him out of jail, they asked him one more time. They said, are you going to stop? And Peter said, no, we cannot but tell the things we've seen and heard. And immediately the church, under all this threat, with these people that got the power to kill you, saying, you tell that church, don't talk about Jesus. You tell them. And by the way, that's now happening unthinkably in America. We literally get phone calls at our ministry virtually every week and sometimes every day where people are told you cannot say Jesus. Well, immediately Peter and John went back to the church. And when they went back to the church, we're going to record what happened starting in verse 23. And when they got back, they did three things. Let me tell you the first thing they did. They praised God with all of their heart. They got excited about the Son of God. And being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company, the church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, now circle the word Lord that's used there. This is a great word. The word Lord that they used was the word for the all-powerful. Nothing can stop. Do you understand? Our God is not powerful. He's all-powerful. What's impossible is only impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. And that's the word that is, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They came back and said, listen, these authorities that crucified Jesus are on us. And instead of asking God to make the problem go away, they praised him for the problem. When's the last time you praised God for your difficulties? When is the last time when something was really difficult, you gave praise? The Bible commands, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We get calls all the time at the Christian Law Association. I had one yesterday where people have got staggeringly difficult problems. And they always say, Brother Gibbs, tell us what to do. Tell us what to do. What should we do? And I say, okay, write this down. Number one, I want you to give thanks for this problem. And they say, no. We wanted what to do. That is what to do. Do you understand? As a child of God, you are commanded to give thanks. You're required by Scripture to give thanks. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks. How good of a thankful person are you when trials and difficulties come your way? Now, I got to confess to you, if I had been there, I'm afraid I'd have been prone to say, God, what do we have to do to get this off our back? What do we have to do to make this go away? How many of y'all have ever prayed that? Lord, please make this go away. Just make this be. But if you want great grace, if you want the power of God, it starts with you realizing the God you serve is all-powerful. And not one thing is ever going to touch your life that he's not 100% in control of. And what he wants you to do is praise him. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks, for this is the will of God. I wonder if the kids would say, boy, you ought to hear mom give thanks. Well, you ought to hear dad give thanks. You ought to hear grandma and grandpa give thanks. I wonder if the people at work would say, you ought to hear that man and that lady give thanks. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to get God into something, it starts with you praising him. Because the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. I hope you understand that this morning, when Brother Wrench led us in singing, we're not singing for the benefit of each other. If it was for the benefit of each other, it'd be a blessing if some didn't sing. We sing unto the Lord. Do you understand? God was listening. And just don't forget this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. How many of you want God to give you your next breath? Hold your hand up. And how many of you would like the one after that? Hold your hand up. How many would like a whole bunch of them today? Hold. Do you understand what God says? I'm going to give that to you so you can praise me. Whoa. My law partner, Charlie Craze, we were together over 25 years. Boy, when we'd sing in the church, he was horrible. It wasn't bad, it was horrible. It was pathetic. He sang real loud, and he had this ability, Brother Wrench. I've never met him, brother. He could sing a perfect half note off. Perfect. But he would sing so loud, he'd get a whole part of the church in the key he was in, which was not the key the song leader and the piano was in. And 24 times I've seen the song leader say, hold it, let's stop. Let's go to the key he's in. And they did that, and he went another half note off. It didn't fix anything. And I would say, Charlie, you're messing it all up. You're so loud. He'd say, I know, but I love to praise him. Do you realize it's a sin to sing half-hearted? Right after God commanded praise, he said, he wants all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. I wonder if you can say, boy, this morning, I sang with all my heart. I wish you could sit on the platform and watch some people sing. They look like they're in pain. You hear me, God? I'm just really not into praising you. I'm just not. It's not my thing. What in the world are you saying? Wow. I was at an all-black church, a great church. And when I got there, and I've had the privilege to preach at a number of black churches. But when I walked into this one, it was large. There were several thousand people there that Sunday morning. And I noticed I was the only person there not of color in the whole church. So I'm kind of looking around, and I thought, well, this will be a blessing. I sat down on the front row. A lady came in and sat down next to me. Now, little did I know, that lady's going to change my life forever. When I sat down, she came in. We nodded at each other. And finally, after a couple of minutes, she turned to me and she said something. She said, what are you doing here, white boy? Now, no one in my life had ever called me white boy, and it just never happened. It was friendly, it was kind, but it just startled me. She said, what are you doing here, white boy? And I said, well, white boy's going to preach this morning. And I thought, oh my goodness, I just called myself white boy. I mean, this is getting out of hand. She said, you're going to preach, white boy? I said, yeah, ma'am. She said, well, isn't that a hoot? I said, I agree with you. That's a hoot. She said, you got the stuff, white boy? I said, I beg your pardon. She said, don't play stupid, white boy. You know exactly what I mean. She said, either you got the stuff or you don't got the stuff. And she said, if the preacher don't have the stuff, if you don't have God's power, don't you dare try to get up there. Because she said, if the preacher don't have the power, we don't have church. She said, you got the stuff, yes or no, white boy? And I said, white boy's got the stuff. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I'm kind of just stymied. Whoa. Oh, she said, that's good. She said, they tell you how we do stuff here? I said, no. Oh, she said, you're going to love it. She said, first thing we do is we sing for about 2 hours. I said, you sing for 2 hours? She said, oh, yeah. She said, it drives the devil crazy. She said, the devil hates it like you can't imagine. She said, when God's people sing with all their heart, she said, it just aggravates the devil like you can't imagine. And she said, you know who else it aggravates? I said, no. She said, carnal Christians. Because they just don't want to praise him. She said, you love to sing, don't you, white boy? I said, I'm loving it more by the minute. I sure am, boy. I'm with it. She said, then we have testimonies. And she said, oh, this is good. Man, when people get saved or they repent of sin, and man, sometimes they come forward and they repent of crimes and we take them right down to the police. I said, you do what now? Oh, she said, a couple weeks ago, a guy came in that tried to blow the chief of police's car up with his family in it. He got saved, repented. Man, we all took him down to the police chief and turned him in. She said, the whole church went down. I said, really? She said, yeah, you know, the Bible says, if you're not right with man, you're not right with God. You know that's in there, white boy? I said, I'm aware that's in there, yeah. She said, you done any crimes, white boy? And I'm serious, I thought, none that I'm talking about this morning. Man, I'll be down at the Hooskow. What happened next is what changed my life. She said, white boy, in just a few minutes we're going to start singing and I need you to move over. She said, I said, somebody else coming? She said, no. But she said, when I get singing with all my heart, I need a little room. And she said, you mind? And I moved over. Good thing I did. That lady started singing with all her heart. And her spirit pulled me in. Fifteen minutes into it, I said, God, I want what she's got. That lady has something. Would anybody around you this morning listening to your voice, listening to your praise, say, I want what that lady's got. I want what that man's got. She's singing. I'm crying. When's the last time you heard somebody sing like they're standing in front of God? Remember, we're not singing for each other. We're singing unto the Lord. Finally, the pastor motioned me up, and I came up on the platform, sat down by him, and he said, I saw you talking to Sister Abby down there. I said, is that her name? He said, yeah. I said, preacher, can I tell you something? He said, yeah, sure. I said, I want what she's got. That lady truly praises God. Think of all the things you get excited about. A sports team. A thing. And then we sing to him like we're bored. I said, I want what she's got. He said, I understand. He said, did she tell you her testimony? I said, no. He said, Brother Gibbs, a year ago, her two junior high boys and her husband went down to the bus stop at 5:30 in the morning to catch the bus. Her boys to go to school and her husband to go to work. They think it was a gang thing. Two cars pulled up and shotguns came out and killed her family. He said, then unthinkably, Brother Gibbs, they got out. And they took the heads off her boys. When we buried them, we had no heads. We still don't. She didn't tell you that? I said, no. All I know is I want what she's got. She said, Brother Gibbs, did she tell you she's got stage 4 cancer? And no money for medicine? Did she tell you that? I said, no. All I know is I want to be like her. You want great grace? It comes with great praise. Now here's our problem. God, give me what I want. Give me my druthers. Give me all the things, and oh, I'll tell you how good you are. What would it take for you to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to praise my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength? Well, yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I'm just not an out loud kind of person. Well, I find it really helpful to do it out loud, but can I help you here? You can praise him fervently and not say anything out loud. Do you remember Hannah when she went to the temple to pray for a son? She prayed and praised God so fervently, they thought she was drunk. And she never said one word out loud. Have the kids seen you out loud, Mom, or quiet? If you want great power, it comes with great praise. Write the second thing down. Great grace comes with great praise. Verse 29 has the second thing in it. And by the way, this is my life's verse that my mother gave to me. I've repeated this verse 1,000 times in courtrooms. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You want great grace, it takes great praise, and then it takes great boldness. When's the last time for the Lord you got bold? I can't explain what's happened in America, Brother Wrench. In my lifetime, it's very strange. All kinds of unusual things have come out of the closet. And God's people have gone into the closet. And all of a sudden, God's people lost their boldness. When's the last time for God you got bold? Bold. Now, we're commanded to witness. By the way, how could we love people and not tell them about what Jesus did for them? How could we not tell them about the gift of life everlasting? I get to witness to people all the time, and they say, well, I'd want to go to your church. I say, it's got nothing to do with going to church. It's got everything to do with you going to heaven. It's a free gift. You can join every church in town. That won't get you to heaven. But we lost our boldness. I hope this is not true here, but in all our cases, we sure find it true. Can you imagine in our churches, less than 6% of the people ever witness, ever. That means 94% of the people never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Hand out gospel. We've never had better tracts, so we've never handed them out less. How can that be? Do you know what the fastest growing faith in America is? Muslim. And you know what's disturbing in the extreme? If we keep winning people to Christ at the rate we now are, we will self-extinguish in time. Of the 6% that witness now and then, only 4% do it faithfully, and less than 2% have ever tried to lead somebody to Christ personally. I wonder if last week you could say, oh man, I witnessed. You want great grace? It comes with great praise. And it comes with great boldness. I was with a pastor friend of mine. We're going to take a flight together. And he said, I'll get the seats and everything. I said, okay, fine. Well, I met him at the gate, and he said, Brother Gibbs, we're going to sit in the last row. I said, no, we don't want to sit in the last row. No. I said, the engines are on the rear of this. We'll be between them. I said, our molars will vibrate for a week. You don't want to do that. And then he says these magic words, no, we're going to sit in the last row for Jesus. And I thought, oh, boy, what's Jesus got to do with the last row? And then he says, we want to get on last. I said, no, we for sure don't want to do that. All the bin space will be gone. We want to get on this plane. He said, no, trust me. You're going to love this. Finally, everybody's on the plane. Everybody. The gate agent said, come on, you're the last two. Come on. He said, okay. He hands me his Bible. Never forget what he did. Pulls his coat back, unbuttons his shirt, pulls his shirt back, and on his T-shirt he has printed, I can tell you how to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. And I'm looking at it. Now we walk up to the gate agent, and she said, can I take a picture of that? He said, yeah, go ahead. She said, I've never seen anything like that. Then she turned to me and she said, you with him? And I said, yeah, kind of. Man, I didn't know what to do. Now we walk down, and while we're walking down the jetway, he said, just pray, just pray. Man, the flight attendants there, they looked at it, they said, can we take a picture? Now we're walking down the aisle, and he's going like this, and people are standing up taking, I'm telling you, 50 people took pictures. They're all pointing at it. And I'm watching him do this, and this thought came to me, man, if I did it, I could put the whole Romans Road on here. I mean, I got a lot of real estate there we could fill up. Finally, we get all the way to the back. He buttons up, he says, pray. While he's buttoning up, a flight attendant came up and she said, do not get off this plane. God sent you for me. She said, promise me you will not get off this plane. She said, you were sent for me. I thought, wow. You say, well, nothing like that's ever happened to me. Me neither. You say, but that's not my way of doing it, Brother Gibbs. What is your way? Do you know what our way has become? We don't do it. We took off. They turned off the seatbelt. Amazing thing happened. Seven people got up and walked back to him. Seven. And said, could I talk to you a minute? Before we left, five people trusted Christ. What would it take for you to get bold? What would it take for you to at least take a gospel track? This can make the difference in where somebody spends forever. Forever. You want great grace? Then you got to have great praise. And then you got to have great boldness. Look at the third thing, and we're done. They praised him, they got bold, and then in verse 31, they prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spake the word of God with boldness. Now, remember, the day of Pentecost has already taken place. Acts 2 is already history. The Holy Spirit has come. But now the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How much of God's power do you have? But I want to ask an even greater question. How much do you want? Or are you just comfortable? I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, my friend, great praise, great boldness, great prayer. I hope this is not true for you, but our statistics say that the average person in our church does not pray 8 to 9 minutes a day, counting meal prayers. How did we get comfortable with so little prayer? Do you understand you're invited to pray, you're commanded to pray? And here's the promise God gives you: ask and you shall receive. What are you asking for? Now he cautions us, you have not because you ask not. Nothing will defeat your prayer life like not asking. Because by promise of God, you have not because you ask not. But 6 times, ask and ye shall receive. Now, what I'm going to tell you is not in the Bible. It would be wonderful if it were. It would be wonderful if the Bible said, as a Christian, I'm going to give you 10 miracle asks. You can ask God for 10 miraculous things, impossible things, and I'll do it. That's not in the Bible. Do you know what the number is in the Bible? It's unlimited. It's only limited by you asking. Mom, what's on your prayer list? What's on your prayer list, Dad? What are we asking for? I have a prayer list for my wife that I pray every day. I prayed it this morning. I have 62 things on that list. There's 62 things I ask for my bride every day. Now, if I showed you that list, and I've shown it hundreds of times, you'd want everything on that list. You'd go down that list and you'd say, I want that for my mate, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 62 times. There's only one problem: you're not asking. If I showed you the list for the kids, you'd say, I want that, I want that. But I'm not asking. What would it take to get you praying? Great praise, great boldness, and great prayer. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grow in that grace. And the Bible says when these Christians did those 3 things, great grace was upon them all. Last week's gone. Nobody gets to redo it. But by the grace of God, next week can be unlike any you've ever done in your life. Now, the devil just wants to get you out of here. I think I can show you from Scripture the devil loves when we go to church, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we become hearers and not doers. He doesn't care what you've heard as long as you don't do anything with it. But if you say, no, God spoke to my heart today, why would you want to live without great grace? Why would anyone in their right mind not want the power of God, promised by God? But there's got to be great praise, and there's got to be great boldness, and there's got to be great prayer. This morning, now it's our turn to decide. If you're here and you don't know Christ, I'm praying for you, my friend. I sat through hundreds of church services wanting to be saved, but somehow I thought, what will the people think? What would my folks think? Especially since I led them all to believe that I was saved. And then one day a man walked up to me and he said, David, don't go to hell for what people think. And he walked off. You understand, the most important thing in your life is not who you marry or where you live or what you do for a living. The most important thing in your life is where are you going to spend forever? Eternity is not a long time. It's forever. Well, David, I've trusted Christ. Then we need great grace. It starts with praise. It starts with boldness. And it starts with prayer. Now the choice is ours. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your word is so clear, so powerful, we don't have to guess or wonder. This morning, Father, we've heard Christ-honoring music. We've looked at the word. And God, now, by your grace, we want to do what will honor you. Heads are bowed. How many Christians here would say, Brother Gibbs, boy, I know the Lord, I'm heaven bound, but God sure spoke to my heart this morning. If that's true, hold your hand up. Hold them up high. God bless you. I'm going to ask the piano to start to play. I'm going to ask the singer to sing. You raised your hand. I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to this altar. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. I meant it when I raised my hand. You come right now. You come right now. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. You come too, my friend. Oh, you come too.
Let them flow.
My precious friend, you're here and you don't know the Savior.
Take my hands.
Oh, just step out and come. Let us pray with you.
At the impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and
beautiful. Oh, we'll pray with you if you'll come.
For thee, take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King.
Father, I bow with these people right now.
And let them be
by your grace. We need great grace. Forgive us where we praised you half-hearted. And Father, forgive us where we lacked boldness. And where we didn't pray. Forgive us, forgive me. Father, we've got some things to change. But by your grace, we will. Hear the cry of every heart here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take my
Let's all stand and sing that song together.
And my-